Thank you, Vaughan, for bringing us headlines. Lagos, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you're still listening to Hard Facts. Will Sim Fubara and Abba Yusuf hit the ground running in Rivers and Kano? Today is the first full working day, not just for Bola Tinubu in Aso Rock, but also for the incoming governors in state houses across the country. Here's today's big hard fact. 18 new governors were sworn in yesterday, 18 of them. So out of the 28 governors who took the oath of office nationwide, 18 are new and 10 are incumbents. And today we're looking at two of those newcomers. There's Abba Yusuf in Kano, but let's start with Sim Fubara, in Rivers State. And joining me to talk about that is Chioma Ezenwafo. Chioma Ezenwafo is the head of news for Kulwa's Info Port Harcourt. Chioma, welcome back to Hard Facts.
Yeah, good to be back. Hi, Sandra.
Hi.
Hello, Lagos.
Yes, we're well. We're struggling to buy fuel. Are you struggling to buy fuel in Rivers?
Same here. It actually started from here. We started experiencing it on Friday.
Oh.
All through Saturday, Sunday, and then by some Monday, yes, the queues resurfaced. But there with the increase in petrol and having been funny for a lot of people here.
How much are you buying petrol in Port Harcourt?
Let's start with the black market. Okay. They're selling 500 because most of the filling stations are closed.
Okay.
They're apparent hoarding. And they're not allowing, they're closed, so no cars are allowed in.
Okay.
And then you would find the NMPC filling stations, you find the long queues there. And then people also, you know, camping in front of the closed filling stations. Not really like they are, well,
letting them in or anything, so. Just, you know, camping and keeping hope alive.
And hoping, yeah.
Lagos, yeah. Would love to hear from you as well. What questions do you have about Sim Fubara in Rivers? Do you think he'll hit the ground running? What are your expectations of Sim Fubara? You know the numbers 0700 993 993 993 01465 7190. Chioma, let's start on a funny note about the outgone governor, Nyesa Mwike. He gave the shortest handover speech ever. Quote, "Your Excellency, the Governor of Rivers State, I hereby hand over the flag of Rivers and official handover documents to you. Thank you and God bless." End quote. Wike is known for his rather long speeches, and I wonder if this is a sign that he has actually, or he's actually ready to give up the spotlight.
Well, a lot of people do not think so, especially with the entrance he made during that particular inauguration.
Oh, what entrance?
Yes.
Tell us.
He came on the motorcade, and some people felt he should have allowed a new governor, you know, such an entrance, not the outgoing governor.
Right.
The debate is on in certain quarters of why he would do that, perhaps because, I mean, he's yet to really let go of the spotlight, like he said. And then there's this grand reception going on currently.
Yes,
for him.
It's three days.
Streaming live on all TV, major TV stations, I suppose. And it just feels like he's still there for a lot of people.
If you're gonna be gone for forever, it does make sense that you would want to take, you know, the final dregs and drag it out as long as you can.
Others will tell you that perhaps the reason why he spoke so short during the handover is because he still has a lot of things to say. And, you know, I mean, we're talking about the governor, and for 8 years, a lot of people said he pretty much ran a sole proprietorship of some sort, where commissioners weren't allowed to talk until they kind of get some sort of clearance. And, you know, the access of information you would ordinarily feel the government gives journalists or allow wasn't allowed, and while there's always some sort of an explanation as to why the administration is running that way, it didn't look like democracy for a lot of people. And society organizations continually refer to River State as a shrinking civic space.
He has, however, promised that he will not interfere with Sim Fubara's administration, but Fubara has already nominated 4 of Wike's commissioners to stay on as commissioners. Are people in River State seeing this as Wike still having a say, or do they think that Fubara is just sticking with colleagues that he knows from his time in Wike's cabinet?
Yeah, when we ask the staunch supporters of the former governor, they believe that the current governor is trying to honor the former governor. And then the question was, you're honoring someone with such an appointment?
Remind us the portfolios given to these commissioners.
Not yet.
Okay.
The confirmation and the screening and confirmation was just done.
Okay.
But we know, like I said, they are already former commissioners, and so we already knew the portfolios they were handed.
Okay.
Whether they're going to get the same portfolio remains for us to see.
Mm.
But currently, the average we're assessing was hoping for new faces, new names, new minds, fresh minds, technocrats, not politicians.
Mm.
And that hasn't happened. But well, there are so many positions yet to be filled. So these are just the first appointments.
Mm.
And let's see how that goes.
The four commissioners at Lagos are Zacchaeus Dango, Justice Dako Tinama, George Kelly. Zacchaeus Dango is in justice. Dako Tinama, George Kelly is in works. Isaac Kamalo in budget, and Chinedu Mom in education. And I want to ask Chioma, what was the general opinion of their performance in office? How are Rivers people reacting to their renomination? I know you've mentioned that Rivers people were hoping for new faces, technocrats. Does that mean that Rivers people did not think that these ones were technocrats?
Well, when you come to the former commissioner for works, who's just been nominated, that's Kelly, because of the focus that the last administration had in infrastructure, I think it should be given to him that he performed quite well, because it was under his watch, that all of the flyovers were built.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them built in less than 1 year, some of them built in 9 months. And so if you're going by that, yes, it should be said that he performed well as a commissioner. And then for education, the thing is that Professor Chinedu Mom, actually, he's known in the environment sector.
Okay.
And so I remember when he was given the education portfolio, which was at the tail end of the last administration, a lot of people wondered why he would be given education.
Hmm.
But whether he has performed remains to be seen, really, now that he's been reappointed, perhaps he's given education, I don't know. But one of his biggest achievements of the short time, the very short time he was commissioner, was arresting the principal who was into WAEC racketeering, and suspending the principal who was into WAEC racketeering, and distribution of certain school materials to certain schools, and overseeing the renovation of some primary schools. So if you want to compare it to what we've seen commissioners do better than that,
mm-hmm.
even though we know he didn't stay up to as long as the other commissioners. But I wouldn't exactly say that he's done, there's still much to be desired. Let's put it that way.
Much to be desired. Lagos, join the conversation, of course. I've got my head of news from Port Harcourt, from River State, joining us to talk about one of the 18 governors sworn in yesterday. 18 brand new governors. Of course, we have a few of them who are returning, 10 of them who are returning as incumbents. But 18 of them are new, and they also took oaths of office yesterday. We're starting with Rivers, where we have Sim Fubara as the replacement of Nyesom Mwike. And like I mentioned, he already has named four commissioners that he will be retaining from Mwike's administration. I'm curious about the general mood in River State, Chioma, around Mwike's exit. When he was in office, he was very popular among some Rivers people, while others saw him as a tyrant. Like you mentioned, a lot of his critics say that he ran the state like his personal business. But he seemed to have lost many of his supporters by supporting Bola Tinubu in February. So what's the general view on Mwike right now? Because we also talked about the fact that he's having a grand reception in Ikwiri, triumphant return of the son of the soil, so to speak. Yeah.
Okay. Now, the thing is, he still has a huge following. So where the people that may be disappointed, perhaps people who are not members of the PDP,
okay,
but the party and the way they function, mm-hmm, like a movement of some sort,
okay,
where he says go, they go and they do not complain and they defend the fact that they are moving towards the direction he's asked them to.
Okay.
And so that's what we've seen over the years. And so we really find a lot of the people who ordinarily are supposed to have their own mind and speak their own mind tell you that they are not happy with the fact that the governor supported the current president. But generally, we've seen quite a quiet atmosphere, I must say, compared to what we saw in 2015 during the handover, where the former governor, Adaza Chibika Mitu, was not even at the handover ceremony.
Yeah.
There was so much drama right after the former Adaza, former governor Wike assumed and went into government house. He talked about looting. He said everything was looted. You know, we've had a lot of that kind of drama.
Yes.
Okay? And so we've had some really quiet atmosphere in the policy, really. And looking at just anticipating and just positioning, perhaps, to see what these appointments would look like and how much they could benefit from it. You know, when you talk about the average business person and whether this government seems to have a mind of its own, it remains to be seen, really. Especially with the four commissioners that have been appointed, some people are really disappointed, considering the you know, so much was left there by the past administration, and the focus was purely infrastructure and judiciary, and then a lot of other things were just touched and not really explored. You know, issue of promotion of civil servants are still there. They are still not done. Employment, you can't really say that young people have been employed. And real estate is still, you know, the economy, when you look at the state's economy, it still has so much work to be done.
Right.
So technocrats are needed in this administration. It's going to end well. Let's put it that way.
You know, you and I have talked a lot on this show about Sim Fubara and how he's seen as a bit of an unknown, what's the word I'm looking for now, quantity, and how he himself seemed to avoid the press and the public even during campaigns. Now, of course, there was no avoiding us at inauguration. What has been the general impression of his speech?
Well, it was cliche. It was cliche and music to the ears of many of us people. Nothing stood out. He said he was going to, he talked about strong leadership and comparing it to what the average person is seeing or how they perceive him. It's almost like someone wrote and gave for him to read it. That's the perception. Okay.
Yeah, so, but that's not a problem. I mean, all of them have speech writers all over the world.
Yes, but the thing is, where you have to speak from your mind, finally his voice was heard by many who are yet to hear it. But the inaugural speech didn't stand out. That's what I'm trying to say, Sandra.
Okay.
It didn't stand out.
Okay.
The same promise.
Okay.
I mean, nothing different was said. And then promising to consolidate once again, which is the most popular word in River State right now. Okay. Promising to consolidate in the previous administration's achievements. And so that hasn't really left people with much to talk about when it comes to the inaugural speech yesterday.
Okay. All right. Not a lot to talk about. Lagos, join the conversation. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. My head of news from River State, head of news school, Azobia Info Chomezawafo, says, as far as Rivers people are concerned, there was nothing that really stood out for them from Sim Fubara's speech. Sim Fubara is the new governor of River State, replacing Nyesom Wike. 99.3, hello. Thanks for calling us.
Hello, Sandra.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, how are you?
I'm very well. What's your name, sir?
Austin, coming from Bush.
Austin, talk to me.
Yeah, I would like to ask your colleague. The current governor seems like a third-time placeholder for Wike. What's your take on this particular issue? Because I know that throughout the campaigning period, nobody had the guy's voice. Wike was the only voice that was so loud. And when I heard about his inaugural speech yesterday, it has nothing to write about. What was your take on make this guy being placed here as the third term placeholder. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Chioma, what do you think about those who say that this guy is essentially running in place of Wike, you know, fulfilling Wike's third term, so to speak? I mean, of course, he doesn't have a third term agenda, but this guy is running his third. This guy is in his office.
Yeah, we have a lot of people saying that, and a lot of events have unfolded. You know, before now, that pointed towards the fact that it just may be, you know, a complete stooge here. But then we've had a lot of, we've spoken to certain political pundits who believe that whenever situations like this present itself, it's usually an opportunity. Most times it do not go exactly how the person who has put the stooge plans it. Okay, we've had lots of such analysis who say that he may listen to, you know, the supposed person who he put in there for the 4 years, but by the next 4 years, or even less than that, he begins to do his mind and realign with others, and especially when he starts thinking of his future and gets quite comfortable, you know, in government house. So there's this other conversation of River State has actually never had a governor successfully,
control the next one.
Exactly. This is the first time we've had it. This is the first time River State has had something like that.
But so, have we had it, though? I say we. Sorry, I'm no longer in River State. Does River State have that, though? Because everyone always believes that whoever replaces the next governor is going to do the previous governor's bidding. And then the new governor gets in there and their ITS and they start to show red eyes.
And that's what's being predicted. We've had a clergy predict that as well. A lot of people believe that even if this man is pledging loyalty to the former governor.
Right.
There are certain factors, especially like the, I mean, when you look at the PVP and where the former governor stands with his party.
Right.
And the national, those forces could influence his man, supposed man, to realign and not do his bidding anymore. So it's just something to look out for, really. You know, like I said, it's the first time River State is having a governor leave office and put his own supposed person, his own endorsed person. It's never happened. We had Odile try it in the past. It didn't succeed. We had Meche try as well. It didn't succeed. And now Wike has come. He has succeeded, supposedly. Well, how that will end, we're seeing. We're going to see, rather. So it's something to look out for, really, Sandra.
Okay, something to look out for, Chioma says. I do have to ask, though, what are the general expectations about his administration? Away from, oh, he's going to be Wike stooge. We don't like that he's retaining people from the previous government. We don't really know what he's about. Are there expectations about his administration?
Yeah. Lots of expectations. Like I said before, the present administration didn't exactly meet all of the needs of River people, or most of the needs of River people. So that left a lot to be expected, especially because towards the end of the administration, it appeared he started doing a lot of what people were asking for, like employment. He had promised to employ 10,000 youths and promote civil servants who were not promoted for 8 years, by the way. Mm. And the processes were on. There were lots of technical hitches because computers were being involved, computer-based tests were included, and a lot of technical hitches. And the process is still ongoing. They're still ongoing till he left office. So with him in, one of the expectations of Rivers people currently is that will be that particular process will be completed. People will actually be hired, and we'll have those 10,000 young people join the civil service, mm-hmm. and then we'll have people promoted, and then we'll have pension arrears completely settled. And that's on the one side. The other side is the ease of doing business. I remember that during the inaugural speech of Governor Fubara, he mentioned it as well, that he's going to ensure the ease of doing business. And it's quite a problem, I think, for someone like you during the inaugural speech, you understand how it's been, you know, the UK tax force thing, and how he's going to handle it and ensure that businesses are not harassed, are not closed down, or, you know, or multiple taxation. These are issues that are dominant when it comes to the business environment in this state. So, people are, businesses, or rather, there's some people are expecting that the current administration pay attention to ensure that businesses are able to thrive and, you know, new businesses can come in and survive and grow. And when it comes to security as well, we, because, I mean, when we look at the social institution, we have, you know, the family, we have different units of a society, and one of the ones that really comes when it comes to talking to clergy now, what the expectations are, they will tell you security, that a lot of politicians continue to arm young people, and when they are done working with them, they leave them with these arms and then they turn it on the people. And so they're expecting that the current administration ensures that that doesn't happen again, because they believe that's actually how to tackle cultism, and which leads to the insecurity that River State actually records once in a while. And cultism really is a big problem in River State currently, in schools, in communities, rural areas especially. And lots of people have died due to cultism. So they're also expecting that the current governor look into that.
And
of course, illegal refinery, I forgot to mention that.
Yes, of course.
Illegal refinery is also another one, but I'll just leave it because of time. But yeah, it's a problem.
It is a huge problem. A problem that I'm hoping the National also takes a look at, because I do remember the previous administration trying to come in and regulate modular refineries, which is what, you know, they are now being called. But it didn't see much light. So it's going to be interesting to see what President Tinubu does with that. Fubara was a career civil servant before this, right? He rose through the ranks to become Accountant General of Rivers State. Do you think that that experience in the civil service could help him navigate governance in Rivers State? In what ways could it help him?
Now, before I answer that question, let's look at how civil service works.
Okay.
You know, there's this bureaucracy that is seen in the civil service,
right?
Where, you know, something that can be signed immediately is kept for 1 week later,
right?
You know, and when you talk to people who either they have to leave civil service and then go into the private sector, they tell you that a civil servant becoming governor, the River State hasn't actually been done well. Okay, so it's something that that's the reason why having technocrats as commissioners is going to help. And so when he sets up a cabinet of people who are not just, you know, career civil servants like him, because the governor, the deputy governor, is also someone who's been within the civil service as well. And so they need, the current administration appears to desperately need people within the private sector who would come in to help amplify, or rather enhance, you know, the ease of our governance within the sector. Otherwise, we're just going to have lots of, it appears the state may have lots of, you know, bureaucracy of people waiting for things to be done, when it will be done, kind of thing that the civil service continues to experience, even at the federal level.
Okay, Chioma Ezenwafo is our head of news. Cool was over here, Info, Port Harcourt. Chioma, thank you so much for talking to us on the show today, and good luck with your new governor.
Thank you, Sandra.
Lagos, we also have a governor, not new, second term, and we will talk about him this week. But for today, we're going around Nigeria to see how other states are doing, especially the states that have brand new governors. We've gone to Rivers. I will take you to Kano when we come back from this break. If you just tuned in, Sim Fubara and Abba Yusuf, the governors in Rivers and Kano. Will they hit the ground running? Chioma told us that four commissioners have already been appointed by Sim Fubara in Rivers. Now, after the break, let's find out what Abba Yusuf is doing, apart from, you know, not sitting on chairs that were sat on by Kanduchi in Kano. Again, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Nigeria Info 99.3. Lagos, don't go away.
are listening to your number one station for talk.
Your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Lagos, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Wilson Fubara and Abba Yusuf hit the ground running. We are looking at two of the 18 new governors who were sworn in yesterday. That's our big hard fact, by the way. 18 new governors were sworn in yesterday. Before the break, we looked at Sim Fubara in River State. Now we're moving to Kano to talk about Abba Yusuf. And joining me to talk about him is Kolawole Omoniyi, the head of news, Cool Wazobia Info. Kolawole, thank you so much for joining me on Hard Facts. Good evening.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
This false scarcity with a wire house for Lagos, you reaching aside?
Yes, it's gradually resurfacing in Kano.
Okay.
And it was sudden, just like it happened in other locations.
Okay.
Shortly after the announcement of the inaugural speech of the Mr. President yesterday.
Right.
Saying subsidy is gone. So, from then, now there are some filling stations that even before that announcement, we discovered that they were selling. Mm. But this morning, most of them have shut down, and the few number of filling stations that are selling right now, you have to experience a very long queue with arguments, counter-arguments, bribing of attendants before you can have your way, and the normal traditional way of struggling for fare whenever there's scarcity.
Right. How much are you having to pay in Kano?
Currently, the price, as before now, it used to be 210 naira per litre, 220 naira. The maximum we've been paying is 240 naira, but now around 350 naira per litre.
Wow. Okay, so you guys have even always had it hard. Those of us in Lagos have been paying 185.
I was shocked the last time I came to Lagos. I saw people buying 12 and 185 naira. It's been long. In fact, throughout this year, we've not bought 185 naira in Kano. It used to be around 210 and 220 naira. Probably because of the location anyway.
Yeah.
So if somebody is telling you that there's subsidy, you can't really even understand what the subsidy means because part of it is for you to enjoy the fact that, okay, this is not stated in your location, but government is subsidizing for you. But in a situation whereby we've been paying almost 55 naira above the normal official pump price before,
right, it means
there's no total.
For you in Kano, there's no subsidy.
Yes.
Right. Anyways, back to the inauguration. What has the mood in Kano been like during and after the swearing in?
Yeah, the mood was calm yesterday. Lots of jubilations, celebrations, blocking of roads, traffic here and there because of the jubilation yesterday. And with that one, you know that the level of acceptance of the current government in Kano is huge. And I was just imagining yesterday, if otherwise was the case, when Abba Kabir Yusuf was declared, it would have been a serious disaster for Kano State because of the huge number of people that are supporting him, and they are so desperate for him to attain that position.
Right.
So yesterday, it was a huge celebration to them. Coming across the 44 local government, they were mobilized to Kano City. We have just 8 local government within the city. The remaining 36 are situated in the villages. They were mobilized to come down to the city to come and witness that event yesterday.
Right. Okay. So there was some controversy, of course, about the handover. Ganduje reportedly tried to hand over a day early so he could be in Abuja for Tinubu's inauguration yesterday. And allegedly, the new governor refused to attend that. So how was the handover orchestrated?
Yeah, before Sunday, they set up a committee to do the handover. And they concluded their report. According to them, on Friday, they were just waiting to hand over to the incoming governor. And Ganduje excused himself that he might not be able to attend because he needed to go to Abuja. So he delegated his secretary to the state government to do the info. So So, as expected, the SSG handed over the document to the governor a day before. That was on Sunday. So the remaining part of the transition, the ceremony was done by the new governor himself, and it was sworn in by the judge yesterday, with the absence of the outgoing governor.
Okay, Lagos, you can join the conversation, of course, 0700-993-993-993. Governor Abba Yusuf says he will investigate the huge debt left behind by the Ganduje administration. He says that the debt is over 241 billion naira. Is it safe to expect that officials and contractors under the past admin are going to face a lot of probes and cases?
Yeah, especially like he was talking about the debt. It's not only Ganduje that is owing money in any way. This affects almost every other state. And they have a number of developmental projects they use the money for. But the level of accountability, transparency, that one is not that clear enough. A number of projects were ongoing. We could not even recall how much he inherited as debt before he got that one. But what we understand is that despite the huge industry we have in Kano State, despite the vast economy in Kano, the number of businesses, companies and stuff, Kano always rely on FAC money every month to pay workers' salary. The moment is not coming on time, they have to go and get overdraft in bank to settle workers and eventually wait for fat money before they can pay the loan back and stuff like that. So that may be a serious factor on whatever is happening right now in Kano State. And apart from that, just like every other governors, the normal lifestyle of governors, the way they fly private jets here and there, it may also not be excluded from part of the challenge they are facing regarding debt service in the state. And a number of capital projects that are ongoing in the state, just like it's affecting the federal government too, most of them, they rely on borrowing to do some of these projects. So expectedly, if you are relying on FAC money to pay salary and you still rely on a foreign or domestic loan to execute some projects, it means you have to definitely need that kind of a money on grant. He promised to investigate, to probe the process and stuff like that. If he's doing that, if anybody is found guilty, I think they should be able to answer their father's name.
Answer their father's name, he says. Okay. Now, naturally, this brings up the issue of continuity of governance. Now that there's a new party in power, are there projects from the old administration which probably should be continued but are now at risk politically?
Definitely, they are traced. When Ganduje took over then from Konkoso, mm-hmm. who happens to be the godfather of Abba Kabir Yusuf right now and his father-in-law, he was able to continue the project he inherited then because he was part and parcel of the project. And apart from that, they did not immediately add issue when Konkoso left office. It was almost a year plus before they started having issues. So he had no problem in continuing with some of Konkoso's project then. But most of the projects that are being implemented by Ganduje's administration have been condemned even before these people came on board. And they were able to play that normal opposition role in the state. So with that, most of those projects that they were condemned, they might not likely to continue with those projects. So that's just the implication of changing from one political party to another. I don't know, except in the situation whereby there are sort of speculation that Konkoso might likely again go back to the APC. If that happens, he may be willing to do so. I don't know. I'm not too sure about that. But it's just speculation for now. But definitely a number of projects are being condemned in Kano State. So it means most of those projects and even the contractors who might not have claimed their money before the exit of Governor Ganduje, it means they might likely to lose whatever they've invested in those projects.
All right. Lagos, join the conversation. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7993. 0780. We've got WhatsApp as well. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra.
How are you doing?
Hello, Sandra.
Can you hear me? I'm very well. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, I greet our mom from Kano.
Okay.
You see, you have to look on the line.
Welcome.
You see, my problem is this. Number one, if Kano's governor in Sharia State is going to borrow money from bank, overdraft to pay interest, I mean to pay salary, what does this speak about his true confidence in the Sharia system they practice? Because they're going to be paying interest. That's one. Number two, I asked you the last time, I think it was him you also brought, when I asked him about the issue of Sanusi, what is going to happen about that issue of Sanusi? Is Sanusi going to be reinstated? And if that is going to happen, how is it going to be like? Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling us. Kolaole?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yes, you heard the question from the gentleman.
Yes, you talked about the overdraft and implication. Definitely, they have to pay interest on that. Mm-hmm. But what they do is that they strictly pay that. It doesn't exceed 1 month whenever they get that kind of money. So they may have a limited amount of naira to pay. Regarding the Sanusi case, it was rumored because Konkoso granted BBC interview. You recall the last time we discussed this.
Yes.
He granted BBC interview and he said they are to reveal what led to the dethronement of Sanusi. And we were expecting, we were so curious yesterday to check the inaugural speech of Abba Gida Gida to know whether it will be captured here. What we only sensed was that Sanusi was invited to attend that occasion yesterday.
Right.
But he refused to come. Because there must be a clash if he comes to that event yesterday. There must be a clash because the current Emir of Kano attended the event and the remaining four Emirs in other Emirate councils attended, even though they were booed that they were not wanted at that particular location. So you can now imagine if Sanusi participated in that event. So he wasn't here yesterday. We didn't hear it from anybody, from any other source, apart from when Konkoso said he will reveal it. And according to Abba Gida Gida, whatever Konkoso wants right now, mm-hmm. is ready to do it for him because he has promised that he will follow up with his legacy that had been abandoned by Gamije's administration. They have to follow up with that. And except if, what we only understand is that except if Konkoso doesn't want it back, but if they insist, if he insists that Sanusi should come back to his throne, I think for now, anything can happen later. For someone that just take off the power and may be willing to even extend his stay after 4 years, maybe to serve another 4 years,
right.
He might likely listen to his father-in-law in that regard. But for now, he only granted the interview to the BBC. We don't know what should be the next line of action among them.
Now, he promised to investigate the disappearance of Abubakar Dadiata, who went missing 3 years ago. Of course, there's been the Where is Dadiata campaign on Twitter for years now, but I think that this is the first time I've heard a politician acknowledge this matter offline. Dadiata was Lagos. Dadiata was a member of the Kwankwa Siya movement, so maybe that's the reason. But is the Dadiata disappearance something that is talked about a lot in Kano, or did this announcement come as a surprise on ground in Kano?
It came as a surprise to everyone anyway. It wasn't a popular story when it happened then.
Okay.
Probably because they were not in power.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't hear much about it at all until when we saw him saying it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably they may understand better than what was written on the script. Because for him to say somebody that had disappeared in the last 3 years, say they are bringing him back, he could not confirm whether he had died or maybe somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
or the reason for his disappearance. So not until when they follow up on that, we might not be able to conclude or speak further on it. He also spoke about to revisit the case of Ado Dogua, the current lawmakers at the state, at the national, sorry, Federal House of Representatives,
right.
The murder case, he promised that they will revisit it. Especially, we know that they will definitely pursue that because the outgone Attorney General in the state claimed that they found nothing that they could use to pursue the case. And especially they are in the same political party, so we are not expecting him to say otherwise. But then coming on board, they were the one alleging and accusing this man that he shot some of their members, and the APC claimed that, no, you guys set fire on the roadside and it eventually caught up with your political party. You wanted to prevent INEC officials to go to their own office and stuff like that. So it's something that we know that definitely they will need to follow up. Now that they have their own Attorney General, especially they will have their Attorney General, that we need to follow up with the case. So it's now left for Dogua to come and truly to prove beyond reasonable doubt in the court of law that truly is not guilty of the accusation.
Okay, I think we're going to leave it at that. Let's take a look at comments we've got here on WhatsApp. This one says, Sandra, okay, well, this conversation is from 3 p.m., so it has nothing to do with what we're talking about at the moment. But I have to ask what expectations are like in Kano. We've got about 2 minutes, so let's quickly talk about that. What are expectations like in Kano? How confident is the average resident in the ability of their new governor to deliver for them?
Sincerely speaking, the attention is still on his father-in-law, not the real candidate we have right now.
Okay.
Whatever is being implemented in Kano, people still have this impression that it's being orchestrated by his political godfather, who happens to be the Senator Rabi Musa Konkoso. And him too saying, emphasizing more on his legacy, on his style of administration, on his political ideology, meaning he has nothing new for Kano people.
Right.
He wants to continue with what his father-in-law did before he left office.
Right. Okay. Continue where his father-in-law stopped. Kolawole Omoni is our head of news. School Wazobia Info Kano. Kolawole, thank you so much for your time this evening and good luck with your new governor.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Lagos, let's talk. 0700-993-993-993. Let's see. We actually don't have time to talk, but I will take messages from WhatsApp. Femi from Ikorodu says, Sandra, on Rivers' political appointees, I can bet you that bulk of those commissioner nominees in Rivers will be appointed by Wike, even all the guys in the State House of Assembly. That's one of the disadvantages of godfatherism. This will be a means to checkmate the man he put in office as governor. You can see that this new governor is not a core politician, he's a career civil servant. Nigerian politicians are so selfish and greedy. When they give you a goat, they will not release a rope. But I can bet you, last, they will still fight. Femi from Ikorodu with that message there. All right. We've got Tony from M Beach who says, you have a SIM and you have a phone. The SIM cannot work without the phone. The Rivers governor has no reason not to hit the ground running because it is clear that he's operating on a template of original continuity. All right. That's all the time we have on that. However, on the other side of 6 o'clock, as soon as the news is over, let's talk about a girlfriend whose boyfriend is intimidated by how much money she has. She's complaining that her boyfriend does not like that she makes more money than he does. They're still dating. We'll talk about it on a step down. Don't go away.